We're going to start here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Bet Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, "Ayomid b'tfilah nizkar shu balkeri." He was davening Shmoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden he remembers that he's a balkeri. Lo yafsik. He doesn't stop in the middle. We quoted this Mishnah earlier in the Gemara. Eli yikatzer. He should shorten each of the brachot to try to finish up quickly. Yerad b'tbo. He goes down to the mikveh in order to be mitayer himself. Im yachol la'alot ulhit kasot. If he can come out of the water, cover himself, vili krot, and then say kriyat shema ad shelo tehei neitzachama. It's before sunrise. Yaleh, get up, vid kaseh. Then he should go up, cover himself, vikra, and read kriyat shema. Vimlav, if he won't have enough time to do all those stages, it kaseh b'mayim. He covers himself with the water. Obviously, it has to be water that is not clear, or he has to make the water not clear by kicking up some dirt, making it so that he is libo in roed ervato, and then vayikra, and then he will say kriyat shema. Tosafot had mentioned earlier about when davening with Netzach Hama was. Does davening with Netzach Hama mean that you start Shemoneh Esrei with the Netzach Hama, or does it mean that you say kriyat shema at Netzach Hama? For those that believe that it's Shemoneh Esrei and Netzach Hama, this is one of the big proofs. Because here it says that he has to be able to come out, cover himself, and read it before the Netzach Hama. So it sounds from here that Tfilat Vatikin is when you say Shema before Netzach Hama, and then you say Shemoneh Esrei at the Netzach Hama. So V'lo Yitkaseh Lo B'Mayim Mareim, should not cover himself with water that is putrid. V'lo B'Mei Mishra, the Mei Mishra is waters that they soaked flax or hemp in, and it was also a putrid type of water. Actually, told the tochan mayim. The only way you can be in those waters is if you dump water into them and you dilute them to the point where it's not a problem. How far do you have to distance yourself from these waters or from excrement? Dalet amot. You have to be at least 4 amot away in order not to be within the sphere of these items which are inappropriate to daven next to. So, tarabanan. Ayom eid b'tvilah nizkar shu belkeri lo yafsik al yikatzer. So the first line in the Braita is similar to our Mishnah, which is that if he's standing and davening, he remembers that he's a Balkari, doesn't stop, but shortens the remainder of his Shemoneh Esrei. Now, if he was reading the Torah, and then he remembers he's a Balkari, Einu Mafsik, again, he doesn't stop, V'oleh ela megamgem v'koreh. He stutters along, he mumbles along, and finishes up. Balkari cannot read more than 3 psukim in the Torah, which is the minimum amount for an aliyah. Gemara Megillah tells us the minimum amount for an aliyah la Torah is 3 psukim. So that's all the Balkari can read in order to complete the 3 psukim. That's what he can do. That's it. No more. As opposed to Tanakam, who thinks he can finish up, but just has to do it quickly in a undertone. Tanya Yidoch, Ayo Meid B'tvilah, Vera'at Zo'ah. He's standing davening, and then he sees excrement. Kenegdo, opposite him. Melech Lifanav. He continues past the excrement, until he's past it, it's the adamot behind him. Don't have a break that says he has to move the tzoah, I mean he has to move to the sides of it, not in front of it. Lokasha. Hadefshar, hadalofshar. Depends on the possibilities in front of him. If he has the possibility of moving in front of it and putting it behind him, da'adamot, then that he should do. But if there's a river in front of him, and the only choice is to go to the right or the left, then he moves it to his side, he has da'adamot to either side, and that also is fine or qualifies. Hayam itzpalel matzat zo'ah bimkomo. He's davening and he finds zo'ah excrement in the place where he's davening. Amraba apo bishachata tfilato tfila. Even though what he did was wrong, nevertheless his tfila is accepted. So matkiflei rov v'ha zevach rishayim toiva. The korban of the rishayim is considered to be a toiva, something that's disgusting. And so too over here. You're offering up a tefillah to Hashem, tefillah which is keneged karbanot, and you're doing it in a manner which is unacceptable, in a place that is unacceptable, makom mitunaf. Since he did sin, even though he davened, his tefillah is unacceptable, his tefillah is an abomination, what does he have to do? He has to daven again. So since the praise is inappropriate, the tefillah is also unacceptable. If it's unacceptable, then you need to daven again. You have to replace that tefillah. That tefillah is not considered to be a tefillah. Just to note here, the Rambam, in dealing with Loeg Darosh, Cheref Oseu, the sugyot that we dealt with earlier, when it comes to making fun of the poor, but they're the poor person being those that are dead. So the Gemara quotes a number of halachot to deal with that. And for instance, one can't be within Dalet Amot of a kever. One can't have tzitzit hanging out in the Beit HaKvarot. All of these dinim that deal with Doeg L'Rosh, Cherif Oseyu, which the Rambam has a great difficulty with, because the underlying premise is that the Meitim know what's going on, and they talk, and it's very difficult for a rationalist. So the Rambam, in his explanation over there, does exactly what this Gemara does here, which is that if you daven next to Tzoah, the Tefillah is Eino Tefillah, because it's an inappropriate makom for Tefillah. So that's what the Rambam says. For instance, it being in the Beit HaKvarot. Seven times the Beit HaKvarot, Rambam says, Tefillah Toh Eino Tefillah. It's not a Tefillah. The Raiva jumps on it. Wait a minute, it's not a Tefillah. What's wrong with the Tefillah here? Why isn't it a Tefillah? It's Loi Glorosh, Kherfoseo, but it's still a Tefillah. But that's underlying what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that Loi Glorosh, or Beit HaKvarot, becomes a Makom HaMetunaf, becomes equivalent to being next to Tzoah. And therefore, if you dive in there, your Tefillah is Eino Tefillah. So that's how the Rambam deals with what seems to be the Loch of the Gemara with Loi Glorosh, but it makes it into a Makom HaMetunaf. Obviously, the Raiva disagrees, because he sees the Gemara, says Loi Glorosh, Kherfoseo, which is, it's a tefillah, but you did something inappropriate. You made fun of the Meitim. That doesn't change the qualitative tefillah that you had there. Tan Rabbanan, ayo med betefillah, umayim shututim al birkav. Standing and davening, and his urine is dripping down his leg. Poseik ad shechlu amayim, he has to stop until it also stops. V'chuzer mitpilah, and he finishes davening. Lechan chuzer, where does he go back to when he goes back to davening? So it's clear here, we're going to see in a second, that he needs to go to the bathroom. He's trying to hold it in so he can finish up davening, but he's somewhat unsuccessful at doing that, and so there are some drips that are coming out. So he has to wait for the drips to stop, and then he can continue davening. When he continues davening, where does he go? So, Chesed Rav Amnuna, Machloket, Chalamar Chozer LaRosh, he has to go back to the beginning of davening. Chalamar LaMakom Shepasak, goes back to the place that he stopped. Lema B'Hakim Miflagei, let's say this is what the premise of their Machloket is. Mar Savi Mishaya Kedei Ligmor Et Kula Chozer LaRosh. That if you waited the amount of time it would have taken you to complete the Shmoneh Esrei, then you have to go back to the beginning. So they'll argue about this premise, or this principle, that if you delay or tarry within a tefillah longer than it would take to complete the entire tefillah, means that you're silent, you're interrupting it for whatever reason, it's as if you didn't daven, you have to start from the beginning again. We have this with Megillah, we have this with Kriyat Shema, we have this din appears in many places. So let's say that their machloket is premised on this. How long? Say they waited. He waited for enough time that he could have davened the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Now what happens? So that'll be the machloket between them. So Amar Ravashi, ha im shaha, im lo shaha mi boile. That's not the lashon that is used in the machloket here. They should have said, if he waited, right? Or if he didn't wait that amount of time. That's not what's mentioned over here. That's not the pivot point of their machloket. Ela du kule amma im shaha ki deli gmurit kula chosele rosh. Everybody agrees, if you have enough time to complete the entire Shemoneh Esrei, then you have to go back to the beginning. Our machloket here is a case where he did not have that time. He didn't have sufficient time to complete the whole Shemoneh Esrei. So now it's not considered to be a complete hefsek. So Marzav gavra dechuyahu ve'en ra'ui ve'en tefilato tefilah. So one says that he becomes a gavra, an individual who's outside the realm of tefilah. So one thing, if you stop in the middle of tefillah, but you still could daven, you just stopped, so that's okay, because you could have davened, you just didn't, and then you continue afterwards. But over here, you had no choice. You couldn't daven at that time because of the urine that was coming out. If that's the case, you lost your connection to tefillah, because you became a person who no longer can engage in tefillah. And that's a full-fledged hefsek. Vein roi, vein tefillah tol tefillah. And therefore, whatever you did until now is nothing. You got to go back to the beginning. Marsava Gabra Chazihu Utfilato Tfila. He's okay, he could daven. He has a short-term problem over here, meaning that even though he couldn't wait until he finished off his tfila in order to urinate, nevertheless, what he did already until now was a good tfila. He wasn't urinating during the first part of his tfila. So just because he has some drips now, it does not ruin the tefillah. And therefore, tefillah to tefillah, and he goes back to the place where he stopped. So, Tan Rabbanan, hanitzrach ninikavav. Someone who has to urinate. Al yitpalel. Should not start to daven. If you have to go to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom, then you daven. You don't approach Hashem when you are in that state of being when you have to urinate. Vim yitpalel. Tefillah to tevah. If you do daven, your tefillah is unacceptable. That depends on whether he can hold himself in. If he's unable to hold himself in, then his tefillah is no good. If he's able to hold himself in, meaning that he could wait to urinate, then he is fine. Vad kama. How long does he have to be able to wait in order for that to be considered fine? Some Rashi ad parsa. To the amount of time that he would take to walk a parsa. Parsa is equivalent to 4 meal or 72 minutes. So that would be the amount a person could wait to urinate after davening, or including that time of davening, 72 minutes. Then they're not considered to be under pressure to go to the bathroom. They have time. They can wait. Therefore, they can also daven. If they feel more pressured than that, then they should go to the bathroom first and only daven afterwards. Some say that this was a part of the braita. The braita has not been qualified by the statement of Rav Zvid v'itema Rav Yehuda, but rather the braita itself has the qualification. It's only if he cannot hold himself in. If he can hold himself in, then his tefillah is good. Vad kamo. How long is that? Now comes the statement of Rav Zvid. Amar Rav Zvid v'imitem Rav Yehuda ad parsa. That was until he can walk a parsa. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. Amar Rabbi Yonatan. So here we have a Tosefta. Nitzrach v'ne kabav. Someone who needs to urinate. Harzeh lo yitpalel. He should not daven. Mishum shenamar. Because they bring the pasuk. Hikon dikrat elukecha Yisrael. So the pasuk found in Amos. Over there, it's describing to Bnei Yisrael what's going to transpire, and it says to the Bnei Yisrael, ready yourself for all that will come from Hashem. So the Gemara takes that also from that context and says, in order to meet one's Creator, you have to be hikon, you have to prepare yourself to meet the Creator. So this, the main Gemara that relates to this, hikon lekrat elokecha Yisrael, is found in the Gemara in Shabbat and Daf Yud. Over there, the Gemara says that Ikon Dekrat Elokecha Yisrael describes what Amoraim used to do in order to prepare themselves to tefillah. First thing that's mentioned there is that they used to put on a gartel. So that's the source for putting on a gartel to come to daven. It's from Ikon Dekrat Elokecha. The reason that some may not have that minhog is based on the Tosafot on the spot. Tosafot quotes the Machzor Vitri. Machzor Vitri says that they only put a gartel on their day because they used to wear a tunic. And when they wore a tunic, then their heart could see their erva, because there's nothing separating. Today, where we have elastics on our underwear, you have a belt, you wear pants that divide anyway between libo and erva, right? There's totally different clothing. I mean, it's a total separation between libo and erva. One does not require the gartel in order to daven. But that's true about the gartel. You still might require ikon likrat elokech Yisrael, which is one should do something special in order to daven. Over there, one of the Amoraim put on shoes. So Tosafot says, the proofs from here, you're not allowed to daven and wear barefoot. Another Amora used to take his cloak off, so he wouldn't consider himself to be chashuv. One of them would clasp their hands in order to show that they were coming, supplicating before Hashem. Another one used to get buttoned up, dressed up, so that he looked perfect coming into Shmoneh Esrei. All of these things are a preparation to show one is approaching Hashem. And the same is true today, that one should do something special when they come to daven. I always say that it's worthwhile to wash your hands to go to daven, because the Rambam paskins, that it's one of the things that's ma'akev tefillah. That if one of the ma'akevim tefillah is washing one's yadayim, so kedai, according to the Rambam, to wash your hands anyway to daven. On top of that, you get the benefit of yikon nekrat elokecha, which is that you're doing something special to come into daven and you wash your hands. Others have the practice also before Shmoneh Esrei to do something, to either to button their jacket, to get themselves especially prepared, because that's when you're going to step before the melech. Always make sure, wearing a tie, to make sure the top button's up and put the tie up at the time before it comes Shmoneh Esrei. If you were going before the president, that's what you would do. The more casual style is okay when you're not standing right in front. But when you're right in front of Hashem, you have to do something in particular to show that you're approaching Akash Baruch Hu. So here the Gemara takes that same Ikon Nekrat Elokech Yisrael and says that not only does it apply to one's outerwear, it applies to the goof itself, that one has to be prepared to come before God. If I remember Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonatan, my dichtiv, what is meant by the Pasuk? Shmor Agdecha kasher telech el beit elukim. Be guarded with your feet. Watch how you come to the house of Hashem. Shmor atzmecha shlo techeta. Watch yourself that you do not sin. V'im techeta, and if you do sin, have karban lefanai. Then bring a korban. V'karov lishmoa. This is the continuation of the pasuk. One should heed or take to heart. Samravi avikarev lishmoa divrei chachamim. should listen to the words of Chamim, Shem Chotim, Mevim Karban, Vosim Tshuva. If you sin, you bring a Korban, and you do Tshuva. Miteita Ksilim Zevach. That's the continuation of the Pasuk. From the giving of the Korban by the fools. Al do Ksilim Shechotim Umevim Korban, Veinosim Tshuva. Don't be like the fools that sin, bring a Korban, and don't do Tshuva. Kim Enyam Yodim Lasotra. So that they don't consider, this is the Pashtut Pasuk, they don't consider that they are doing something bad. So therefore, they end up trying to bring the korbanot without any thought about what they've done wrong. So that's inappropriate. So it says, take to heart, karov lishma, take heed, take to heart the way they bring their korbanot, and don't do that. So when you're coming to the house of God and bringing a zebach, you should do it in a different manner. So when it says, yochid tzadikim ninhu, if they did that, they are tzadikim. Elo alti kisilim shechotim umevim karban, veinu yomdim im ala tovai mevim ala raim mevim. Don't be like the ksilim, the fools that sin, and they bring a korban, and they don't know why they're bringing it. If they're good for the bad, they don't know the difference between good and bad. They bring a korban. So they dash in the pasuk over here of shmor raglecha, referring to mesech raglayim. Other terminology that's used in Tanakh as well as by the Gemara, memei raglayim, to mean to urinate. Shmor raglecha, make sure that you watch over yourself when you come to stand before me. Now, what Rashi says over here is interesting. He says, shmor nikavecha is mebin raglecha, k'mon lasechet raglav, which is talking about, right, to relieve oneself. Shmor kanechavecha shelo yafichu. Be careful so that you do not pass gas, or that you do not have the urge to defecate. So over here, Rashi shifts, and it does because of the Lashon of Nikavecha, although even though in Yitzhar Nikavah before we define as urinating, over here Rashi seems to shift and say that the problem of coming for Hashem here is not simply urinating, but even to pass gas, do something that would be inappropriate for Hashem. And that's how he defines Shmor Nikavecha over here, B'Shah, Shatau Meid B'Tfila Lefanai. So he dives in that Pasuk, the additional drush, and that's why it's brought over here, is not only Shmor Raglecha dealing with coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bringing a Korban, but Shmor Nekavecha B'Shah Shatau Meid Tfila. Tfila is connected to Karbanot. So when you come before Hashem, as if you're bringing a Korban in Tfila, you also have to be Shmor Raglecha, and Raglecha being a euphemism for having to relieve oneself. Alright, Tan Rabbanan. Anichnas Beit HaKisei, Choleitz Tfilav Berachok Dalet Amot V'Nichnas. Person who's going into the bathroom has to take off his tefillin 4 amot away from the bathroom, then he can enter into the bathroom. So I'm talking about a fixed bathroom. If it's a temporary bathroom, choleitz v'nifnel altar, you just take them off and you go to the bathroom right away. But then after you leave that location, you have to distance yourself for a amot to put them on. You now made it into a bathroom. So as Rashi points out here, Beit HaKisei Kavua is something that has excrement there already. Talking about where there is no pit, there is no place that gathers the excrement, it's done out on the open field. So Beit HaKisei Kavua means that this is a place that is normally used for a location for people to relieve themselves over there. So since already it's gotten the status of Beit HaKisei, one cannot approach it with tefillin. And therefore he has to take him off 4 amot away. Whereas if he just goes to the bathroom wherever, meaning that he picks the location up and then he goes ahead and he relieves himself, then until that point in time there was nothing wrong with that location. So he doesn't have to take off his tefillin. He takes off his tefillin, he can go to the bathroom right away. It's only once now he's gone to the bathroom there, now that becomes a Beit HaKisei because he's left excrement in that place. Then he has to move away for Amot in order to then put back on his tefillin. Then the Gemara says, what is the rule with regards to entering into a fixed Beit HaKisei in order to urinate? Ravina Shari, Ravada Bermat Nasar, Ata Shilulu Rova, Rodas Rova Melu Asur. Why? Cheshinan Shema Yifne Bahen. But we worry about the fact that he might defecate in them. Or maybe he will relieve himself in them. So now, we have another bright that says a person goes into a Beit HaKisei Kavua, has to take off his tefillin 4 amot away, put them in a window that's near the Reshut HaRabim, and nichnas. And when he goes out, he has to distance himself from Amot and put them on. Divrei Beit Shammai. That's what Beit Shammai says. Beit Hillel Omrim, Ochzan Biyodo V'Nichnas. He holds him in his hand and goes in. Rekiv Omer, Ochzan B'Bigdo V'Nichnas. He holds him and he wraps him in his beggar and he goes in. Omer says, B'Bigdo? What do you mean his beggar? It could fall out. Sakadatcha, Zimnin Mishtalei, Lehu V'Nafli. They'd unroll and fall out. Ele'im, Ochzan B'Bigdo U'Biyodo. He has it in his hand but wrapped up in his beggar together. V'Nichnas, U'Meicham B'Chorina S'muchin Beit HaKisei. And he puts him in the holes or the hiding places that are near the Beit HaKisei. He shouldn't put them in the holes next to Shut Rabim because maybe those passerbys will take them. And then some suspicion might arise, which is, the words of Yom Tamar Chacham, he took them off, put them in those hiding places next to Shut Rabim. There was a prostitute, and she took them. And then she shows up in the Beit Midrash, Ramaru Matamli Ploni Bischari. Look what he gave me for my services, as compensation for my services. When he heard this, Allah the Rosh Agag, he climbed onto the roof, and Afal fell down, Umait, Botosha, Itkinu, Sheokzan Bibigdo, Ubiyadol. That is to hold him in his beggar, in his hand, Vinichnas, and then go in. So therefore, in order to avoid that problem, they changed what you should do. Let's work through this. In terms of Tosafot, you look at the first Tosafot. Here he deals with some of what we're asking for. Hashina and Shemi Ifne Ba'en Vasur. We worry about you going into the Beit HaKisei Kavua, and then possibly you will either pass gas, or flagellate, or they will have to defecate. So, V'dafka Beit HaKisei Kavua Hashina and Shemi Ifne Ba'en. It's only true in a fixed bathroom. And here comes the big Chiddush of Tosafot, which is brought down to Halacha, something that will shock you. Aval Beit HaKisei Arai, Shemi Kilim Nifnot Sham, Mutar Lashtin Behem, Lo Chashin and Shemi Yifneh Behem. If you are just walking along the way, and a person feels a sudden urge to urinate, and it's not at a fixed place, a fixed bathroom, a person can urinate with his tefillin on. Let's urinate with your tefillin on, no problem. Because there's no thought that Shemi Yifneh Behem, or Shemi Yafiach Behem, we don't worry about the fact that you may pass gas, or you may defecate in them, because it's not Beit HaKisei Kavua. That's not where people do such things. We have a bright line says, do not urinate in them even in a temporary Beit HaKisei. That's when you're holding them in your hand. Because we'll see in a second there's a problem with splashing on the legs and then he's going to have to clean it up. And that'll be a problem with the tefillin in his hands. But if you're wearing them, go ahead. And you can urinate with your tefillin on. Something I think that would surprise most people that Tosafot does and Mishpura brings down the locha. That one can urinate in tefillin as long as you don't go into a bathroom. You can't go into a makom tumah. Can't go to a place that is otherwise classified as a Beit HaKisei Kavua. But if someone is out in the field or someone's out somewhere where they can urinate and they have their tefillin on, they go ahead and they urinate with their tefillin on. All right. We didn't get to that yet. It's later on in the Gemara. All right. It's not today's Gemara because you asked the question. I'll just quickly deal with it, which is that the Gemara says that Beit HaKisei Shebavel have a different status. So Rashi always says because they were on a midron. They were on an incline. And that meant whenever you went to the bathroom, whatever was there got removed. So if one defecated, it rolled away from the location where you went to the bathroom. And therefore the tumah, or that which was tinofet, got removed each time. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they either did it up there, as the Rashi says here, or they had a pit where it stayed in a stationary location. Based on that, some want to say today that our Beit HaKisot, our bathrooms today, have the same status as the Beit HaKisot Shebavel. Today, whatever is disposed of in the bathroom is then flushed, sent away, and no longer there afterwards. So it should be like Beit HaKisot, like Bavel. Those who argue against it say that our Beit HaKisot are different. Rav Avadya Yosef, I think, argues against it. I'm not sure that I agree with necessarily with the realities of what he says, but he says it's different. In Bavel, whenever you went to the bathroom, it immediately moved away because it was on an incline and it immediately disappeared. Whereas today in our bathrooms, first it collects there in the toilet and only afterwards is it removed. So he says that that's not like Beit HaKisot Shebavel. I just question that the reality of an incline like that, did this really go away so fast and did it really so easily? Right. I just think that their day to have the technology having that everything just washed away instantly seems nice, but I'm not sure that it worked perfectly. And so they say that our toilets are so different. So there are Deot Ben Achronim, it's modern day poskim, that argue whether the Beit HaKisei today has realized the status of Beit HaKisei or not because of that. Gemara I'll get to when we get to Beit Kitzot Shel Bavel, but anyway, that's just a preview. Anyway, so Tosavot is important over here. And then we had the Gemara, we brought down one Braita that says that when you go into the Beit HaKisei Kavoa, the Shtin Mayim, there we had a Machloket Amoraim as to whether it was permitted to do so or not. Then Rova says it's Asur, which is the way that we pass, and that it's Asur, the Gamre. And because of the Chashash, Shema Yifneh Behem or Shema Yafiach Behem, one of those two reasons, which Tosavot says only applies to a Beit HaKisei Kavoa, not to a Beit HaKisei Arai. And that's how we came to the conclusion that if one urinates in a Beit HaKisei Arai, then that is permitted even with one's tefillin on. Now the Gemara moves on and brings a series of takanot where the Rabbanim were trying to deal with this issue of removing one's tefillin, going to the bathroom. And how do you deal with this complexity of a problem? We're not dealing in a place where they have lockers and you can put your tefillin. You gotta leave your tefillin outside. It's like, for instance, you go to a public bathroom, and if you had to leave your tefillin outside and in a public place, who knows what would happen to your tefillin when you came back out. So they had the same problem. So what they originally did was, they put their tefillin into like lockers, into little holes right by the Beit HaKisei. What was happening was, the mice were coming, there were rodents that were out there, and they would come and eat them up or pull them away and take them off. So they said, alright, so instead they told him to put by the windows or by the holes that are facing out to Rishut Rabim. Then the passerbys were coming and taking them, so that's out. So they finally came around to the conclusion that he should take him his hand and go in. So Amra Rabbi Meisha, braid Rabbi Shua ben Levi, or it's Barbaray, the grandson of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Halacha Golulan Kemin Sefer. He wraps him up like a Sefer. Vochzan b'yimino k'neg libo. Look at his right hand and places them near his heart. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Yumi. That's how he goes into Beit HaKisei. Again, to remember that he has them with him, but to cover them up and to take them in an appropriate manner. So Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Yumi. Amar Rabbi Nachman. Uvad shalotei ritzua yotzei mitachat yoto tefa. No ritzua should stick out more than a tefa from under his hand. I mean, his hand has to encapsulate the entire tefillin and the ritzuot in order for this to be okay. Why is that? So Rashi says, Shlotei tzei ritzua sheish ba kedusha. The ritzuot have kedusha, shari behen hu koshran. Because that's how he puts on the tefillin. Uber kesher nireh v'asiyato kemin dalet. So the kesher of the shorosh has a dalet. Hashem achat meotiot shel shakai, one of the letters of the name Hashem. V'ashin osuim mekodlea kitzitza chitzonah. The shin is on the Bayit itself. Yud asiyah b'rosh utzuat tefillin shel yad. On tefillin shel yad, you have the little knot over there, which is the yud. So the ritzuot are an integral part of the spelling of Hashem's name. So therefore, Rashi says the ritzuot have kedusha. If you remember back on Davav, Rashi said the same thing, and Tosfot took major issue with that. Tosfot says that's not true. Ritzuot do not have kedusha. Like tefillin, they are only tashmishei kedusha. They are not actual kedusha. And therefore, they don't have full-fledged kedusha. The Shem Hashem has nothing to do with the Ritzuot. So Tosfot disagrees with this position of Rashi that they yesh ba kedusha. It has, they are tashmishei kedusha, not full-fledged kedusha of tefillin. That might still require you not to allow them to go into the Beit HaKisei. But they are not, like Rashi is suggesting over here, full-fledged kedusha like kedusha of tefillin, according to Tosafot. Alright, so then, Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Ach, Amar Rabbi Zera, Glo Shanu al Sheyesh Shahut Bayom Lulavshan. So if he has time remaining in the day to put them back along. He puts them into their bag. He makes a kiss, a bag that is a tefach, and he puts them in there. During the day, he wraps them up like a sefer. He holds them in his hand. He puts them into a kiss that's a tefach, and he puts them in there. It's only true if you have a kli that is the kli that you normally put them in. If it's a kli that you normally don't put them in, then you can have even less than a tefach. And that is because oselam kis tefach, the chalolo tefach, Rashi says, it has to have an empty airspace of a tefach. Tachoshev a kli ol lafsik benam lekarka. Because it makes the kli into an ol to separate between it and the ground. And that's only if it's a kis that belongs to the tefillin. Because, as Rashi points out here, kisa suda tachan de kelyan karov diot batel etzlan. So when it's a kis that's made for the tefillin, it's almost batel to tefillin, it doesn't act like a kis. This is very important, the Gemara is going to say this later on, I'll mention it now, is that you require, in order to take, for instance, tefillin into a bathroom, in order to put tefillin down on something, you need them to be in a double casing. Now a double casing, that only applies if it's not normally the casing that the tefillin are in. If you have a tefillin bag, and then on top of that you have another plastic bag, that's not considered to be a double wrap. It's considered to be a single bag, because they're all considered the tefillin's bags. Talk about that later in the daf, about designations of the tefillin bags. But that does have impact, and that's the same thing that the Gemara is saying here. If it's clear that it's designated for the tefillin already, you need to have a chalal tefach, it has to be something more significant, so that it has a status of kli outside of the tefillin, so that it can be mafsik. Because otherwise, if it belongs to the tefillin, it's as if, almost as if it's not there. If it's something that doesn't belong to the tefillin, then it's something separate. So for instance, if one takes their tefillin in their tefillin bag and then places them into their suitcase, then you're in a kis betoch kis. Because the kid said the tefillin is your first kis, counts as batel, the tefillin is all one kis. And then the outer one, the suitcase, becomes the second kis around the tefillin.
So the bottom of the tefillin, the tefillin bag.
Everything is batel. Everything belongs as one kis.
The palace bag. The palace bag goes.
Right, so that's what the Shaul is saying over here. If it's not designated, but because if the tefillin are always in there, that they have a certain amount of designation for the tefillin themselves as well, even though there's a talus in there. Better off to try to create a second covering over it that has anything to do with the tefillin. Or we'll get to that later in the Gemara. I'm just mentioning it now because this is din derives from the same concept. So you know that small kilim could save in olamet. Why? It's because of the avir, because of the airspace that's in them. Without airspace, they don't work. So there has to be some sort of airspace in them in order to protect. Now, why? Because they're a keli. If they're a keli, they're considered chashuv and they protect. So do over here. If it's not the kli of the tefillin, then as long as it's a keli, that's enough to protect against the bizayona tefillin. But if it's designated for the tefillin, then you run into this other problem. He's going into the bathroom and he's carrying with him a medrash, the sifre agarata, of a yavlan. He would hand it to us. If he's wearing tefillin, he wouldn't give it to us. Amar hoyel v'sharuno rabbanan. Right, so now that the Rabbanan said it's mutar to carry them with you. We saw that with the series of Breitot. You're allowed to carry in your tefillin to the Beit HaKisei now. The Natran, it's an unbelievable statement. They protect you. Yishmereini. Ach disemi mi vishmereini min hamazikim. They'll protect me from the mezikim. It's an unbelievable statement. Not wearing the tefillin, carrying the tefillin will protect me. Since the Rabbanan say it's mutar to carry the tefillin into the Beit HaKisei, they afford me a certain amount of protection. I'm not going to leave them with you. I'm going to go in with the tefillin because they will protect me inside. Very, very difficult because we don't say, for instance, like a mezuzah. You put up a mezuzah on the door, that protects the house. You take a mezuzah and you carry it around with you, we don't say all of a sudden that it protects you, that it's a shmirah. And the shmirah is doing the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is what creates the shmirah. So it's over here. Tefillin create the shmirah when you're wearing them. What is this business? You're carrying them in your hand? And that is considered to be the shmirah. So what you have to say here is that the idea that we said before, which is that it intends to put them back on. So this is part of kedushat tefillin. Part of wearing tefillin is protecting the kedusha of the tefillin. So when he enters into the Beit HaKisei, removing them and having a mind to put them back on is a chelek of the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is to wear them when the guf is naki, to remove them when the guf is not naki, and that's part of shmirat kedushat tefillin. So since he's involved in that mitzvah of shmirat kedushat tefillin, that's what gives him or affords him the protection. So I think you have to formulate it in such a way, otherwise it's surprising that you would say such a thing, that they could protect you, even then you're not doing the mitzvah. So Amar Rava, Ki'av Azlan Batrei the Rabbi Nachman, we went after Rabbi Nachman, Ki'av Anakat Sifra de Garata, he's holding a sefer of a, you know, sefer Kodesh, Ki'avlan, he would give it to us. Ki'av Anakat Tefillin, it's wearing tefillin, lo yavlan. Amar hol v'shonu Rabbanan in Natran, the same idea. Since the Rabbanan said it's mutar to take it in, they protect us. Ten Rabbanan, lo yechez adam tefillin b'yadol, b'sefer tor b'zero, b'yitpalel. So here you go. It's a very important din in Shmoneh Esrei. One may not be holding tefillin in his hand, or a sefer Torah, and daven. V'lo yishkin b'en, ma'im, v'lo yishan b'en, one should not urinate while he's holding them, v'lo yishan b'en, and he should not sleep with them, lo shinat keva, v'lo shinat arai. Not a permanent sleep, not a temporary sleep. So Amar Shmuel, he adds on to this.
What he's wearing them or holding
them? Oh, we'll see in 1 second. Amar Shmuel, sakinu ma'ot, kara ben. A sakin, a knife, money. Kera, a serving dish. Kikar, and a loaf of bread are all similar to this. So what's the problem here? So Rashi says, you can't concentrate. Why can't you concentrate? You're afraid they'll fall. Right, exactly. You have a certain amount of fear. The question of damaging the item that you're holding, or whether the item that you're holding will damage you. When you drop the knife, it might end up on your foot. Or it's something that's precious, and if you drop it, it'll ruin the knife. Any of these cases, you lose your focus in tefillah because you have to focus on what you're holding in your hands. That's for the issues of why you can't hold them. Now, what about lo yishan ben? You should not sleep in them. Rashi says, what's the problem there? Shema yafiach. Because you may come to pass gas, to flatulate while you are holding them. Or, Rashi, you see in the Gersa Agra, Shema yapil. Maybe they'll fall out of your hand, which seems to make a lot more sense here. Because the problem here is not wearing them. He doesn't have Darashu Dusha. The problem is that when you fall asleep, you lose your grip on these items, and they're going to fall out of your hand. So therefore, we don't want you doing this with items like tefillin and Sefer Torah. We don't want you falling asleep and they're going to fall out of your hands. So now, let's move right there. Amarav Sheshet. Late Yilchotok Haimatnita. The halacha is not like this breita. The Beit Shammai. This breita is authored by Beit Shammai. Di Beit Hillel. Hashta Beit HaKisei Kavua Shari. We saw in the previous Amud that what did Beit Hillel say by a Beit HaKisei Kavua? Mutar. To take your tefillin into a Beit HaKisei. Beit HaKisei Arai Mipoi? Then a Beit HaKisei Arai here, when we're talking about that you're not allowed to urinate with them, why not? By Beit HaKisei Kavua, you're allowed to carry in your tefillin. Over here, why can't you urinate holding onto your tefillin? That's a Beit HaKisei Arai. It's not even a Beit HaKisei, it's just urinating wherever it is. Why can't he hold them? So Meitevei. Problem is that this breita continues. And the breita continuing doesn't sound like this, which is, Parim Shitarti L'Chakan Asarti L'Chakan. That which I make mutar here is asur here. My love, what is it talking about? Tefillin. Or what I said is asur here in this breita, which is you're not allowed to urinate with the tefillin in your hand. I say it's mutar by abiteite kisei kivua. Iyamar bishlama beitelel itarti l'chakan kavua asarti l'chakan beit kisei arai. So that makes sense. Ela iyamar bishamai halo shor lo velo midei. What do you mean? What I made asur here is mutar here. Nothing's mutar going to beit shamai. No. That last piece of the breita, talking about when a person has to relieve themselves. When a person has to relieve themselves, how do they expose themselves? So that's for a tefak tefachayim. We have one breita that says, nifne. Person goes to defecate, migalel achram tefach, velofanav tefachayim. He opens up, exposes in the back a tefach, and in front, tefachayim. Another breita that says, achram tefach. He's allowed to expose a tefach to defecate, but if not, lo klum, nothing in front. My love, idi biish. Both of these are talking about a man. Lo kasha, kan l'gdolim, kan l'ktanim. Depends on whether he is simply defecating, or if he's also urinating. If he's urinating, he can expose his front. If he's only defecating, then he can only expose his back. I says, v'tizbra, that makes any sense. Ibi ktanim, nachrab tefach lomali. If he's urinating, why does he have to expose his back at all? They're both talking about defecating. Lukasha b'ishva b'isha. The difference between a man and a woman, anatomically, they're different. Meaning by a man, in order to defecate, he'll take down a tefach in the back, but he'll also have to expose it to tefachayim in the front in case he urinates. Because when a person is defecating, in all likelihood, they will also urinate. So he has to open up his front. But by an isha, by a woman, when she exposes in the back, she does not expose in front, because anatomically she can urinate without having to expose the front. When she exposes the back, she covers both of those. Where it says, Yochi, Hagftani Allah. So then, what about the next line in the Brayta? Zehu Kavachomer, Shein Olav Tshuva. This is a Kavachomer that has no answer to it. Mayin Olav Tshuva. What do you mean there's no Tshuva here? Darka the Milta, Ochi. This is biology. There's nothing about here. I'm Kavachomer, a man, woman, and there's a difference between them. So that's why you have this distinction. It has nothing to do with the Kavachomer. Olav Tfilin. Must be a tefillin, but duyufto de Rova. It's talking about the tefillin, and this is a strong refutation of Rova's position. Rova over here said, Beit Hillel is not the author of this Mishnah, Beit Shammai is the author of the Mishnah, and Beit Hillel disagrees. So no, it sounds like no, Beit Hillel does agree with this Vibraita, and nevertheless, there's a distinction. So, Amar Avsheshit duyufto mikom makom kasha. Right, it is a refutation of Rav's position, but now you're left with a problem. Hashta, this is your question, David. Hashta, Beit HaKisei Kavua, Shari, Beit HaKisei Lo Koshkei. The Beit HaKisei Kavua, you're allowed to carry them in. Then why by Beit HaKisei Arai, you're not allowed to carry in your tefillin? Hachi Kamar, Beit HaKisei Kavua, Delek HaNitzotzot, to Shari. Beit HaKisei Kavua, where there is no splashing when you urinate, there it's mutar to carry in your tefillin. Beit HaKisei Arai, which is something that is not prepared yet, so the ground is harder, and the ground is not ready for you to urinate on, then when you urinate there, it splashes back onto your leg. Dikin Itzotzot, Asrei over there, they said it's a sword to carry in the tefillin. Iyochi, Amayin Alav Tshuva. What do you mean there's no Tshuva? It's a Kavachomer, but we have a Pircha, and that's why there's no Kavachomer. Tshuva Mayatoi, we have a good explanation for it. So this is what it means. This din, you have to know the reason for it, and don't learn it logically through a kavachomer, because if you learn through a kavachomer, you actually learn through a kavachomer, it's a kavachomer, you don't have tshuva. If you use a kavachomer, you're going to end up with the wrong din, it has no answer to it, and you're going to end up in the wrong place. So the answer is, you have to have the time, you have to understand the reasoning behind it. Now, the nitzotzot is something that comes up in the Gemara many times, is that when a person urinates and it splashes on their leg, they worried about that because people would think the reason it splashed on your leg is not because you urinated and it splashed back on you, because you have a problem urinating. And the problem urinating is done, the possibility that you are kot shivcha, means that you cannot arc your urine properly. If you can't arc your urine properly, we saw this in the Gemara Nidah, that is one of the signs of impotence, the inability to procreate and to inseminate. If that's the case, person has children, there's going to be a chashash of how these children were born if this person's unable to be the one who inseminates his wife. So because of that, the chachamim were very makpid. If you get splashes of urine on your leg, you have to wipe them off, you have to clean them off. So the fear over here is that if you get these splashes on your leg and you're holding tefillin in your hand, that you're going to wipe them off with the tefillin in your hand. You're going to use the tefillin, you're going to wipe them off. So that's why it turns out to be a beit kisei arai is more chamor than a beit kisei kavua, because of this problem of the urine splashing back onto the leg. Person wants to enter into a meal that's going to have some duration to it. So beforehand, malei chasara piyamim dalet amot. She walk 10 times, 4 amot. Or dalet piyamim yud amot. Or 4 times, 10 amot. And try to, then each time you should squat. Bifne, and try to go to the bathroom, v'achar kach nifnas, and then go in. Because it's impolite, it's not proper etiquette to have to get up in the middle of your meal. Especially in their meals where they lay down on the couch and it's an extensive meal. But it's inappropriate, not proper etiquette to get up and to go to have to defecate in the middle of the meal, especially when there are no bathrooms nearby. Therefore, I want you to take care of this issue beforehand. Am Rabbi Yitzchak nifnas asudat keva choletz tefilav. This goes into such a meal, you should take off his tefillin, v'achar kach nifnas, and then go in. The reason you have to take off your tefillin and go into the meal, because as Rashi says, shema yishtaker ben, you might get drunk in the meal. Might if you drink wine, their meals included wine. And you get drunk, and then it would be itkaneb itzpilav. Then a person would be either acting or in a state of being that would not be proper for his tefillin. You place them right on your table, and that is a certain amount of pride, or I would say majesty, to this individual that he has his tefillin right there. First of all, I think it helps them to remind them how to conduct themselves during the meal, but also allows them to put the tefillin on. As soon as the meal's over, they can put the tefillin right back on. Because before he says that, you don't bring them in. Take them off and then go in. You don't bring them in with you. You can leave them off until the Birkat Hamazon, you can put them on. This comes back to what we were discussing before shul. Over here, a person's allowed to put his tefillin with his money inside of his bag. And one says, you're not allowed to put the money together. Depends if he prepared them for the tefillin or not. The sudar of the tefillin, this is like a turban in which you store the tefillin. The azmane, the mitzvah of tefillin, it was made particularly to store tefillin in it. You put in tefillin there, you can no longer put in coins there. Azmane velo tzarbe, if he prepared it, has yet to put the tefillin in it. Or tzarbe, he put in tefillin velo azmane, and he didn't designate it for tefillin. Shari le meitzer beizuze. One can put in money. So the bayit amar azmana miltoi, according to a bayit machloket in the Gemara Megillah, as to whether preparation makes something already attain a certain level of tusha. Gemara until now says no. You need hazmana, preparation, and you have to actually store the tefillin there in order to be kadosh. So what, according to a bayit, says that even when you prepare it, that's sufficient to make it kadosh. Then azmane, I forgot to lo tzarbe, if you prepared it, didn't put the tefillin in it yet, then it's already kadosh. Tzarbe, iazmanei, asiri, lo azmanei, lo. But the other way around, if you stored the tefillin in it, only if you prepared it for tefillin, designated for tefillin, would it be so? If you didn't prepare it for tefillin, that would not be so. So again, when it comes to bags for tefillin, one has to be very careful that if they intend to put other items in the bag, that they should, ahead of time, have in mind to do that, because otherwise you're not permitted to store other things with the tefillin. So you're going to have the talit bag around it, or you're going to put your siddur or other things in there. One should be careful to have that in mind up front. So by many Rav Yosef prayed to Rav Nechunya, me Rav Yehuda. Ma'ushi aniach adam tefilav tachad mirashutav. Can a person, when they go to sleep at night, put their tefillin under their head? Tachad mirashutav lo komi boilei. Can't store them at the bottom of your bed, the foot of your bed, by your feet. Shneig ben minag bizayom. Because that is an inappropriate manner to treat your tefillin. It is a bizayon to the tefillin. He came valid takam rashutav under his head. Why? What's the din? You're allowed to put them on your head, even if you have your wife in the bed with you, which the possibility then is that they might have marital relations, that's still permitted to put them there. One shouldn't store the tefillin below his legs, below his feet, because that is inappropriate way to act the tefillin. Then he has to, but he can put them up by his, under his head. His wife's with him in the bed, then he may not do this. He has a location by his head that's above three or below three tefachim, mutar, then you place him on there. Tiyuvta de Shmuel, tiyuvta is a strong refutation of Shmuel's position. So over here you say you're not allowed to have them under your pillow when your wife's in the bed with you. Amarov, aval gav de Tanya, tiyuvta de Shmuel, even though the braita is a refutation of Shmuel's position, hilchot kavate, the locha is like Shmuel. It's happening over and over again. We have a bunch of very interesting dynamic in the Gemara here. We have a number of tiyuvtot. And the Gemara keeps saying, well, even though it's a tiyufta, and then it moves forward. So it's over here. Even though Shmuel is a tiyufta and Shmuel, nevertheless, we paskin like Shmuel against the braita. My taima, kolon turin hotfei odif. The better you store them, the better it is. So better protection for the tefillin, we like that better. So over here, if you keep them under your pillow, that's going to be better storage. They're going to be, the shmirah is going to be even better. And therefore, we opt for that over putting them in the three tefachim above or below, because rather that you store them, even if he's shtoimo, even if his wife in the bed. Sevecha manachlu, how do you place them under your pillow? Rav Yirmiyah ben Karla Kesev, between the pillow and the sheet of the mattress, shelo keneged roshal. Shouldn't be exactly where your head is. So that's the way to store them, that's the proper way to put them in order to keep them overnight. Also, I want to mention here at the end, again, you see this accent of the Gemara on Shmirah. The part of tefillin is not just wearing tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is to be shamur at the tefillin, to guard the tefillin and take care of them. And therefore, again, over here, we make an exception to what would have been, what seems to be a normal rule, that if his wife was living in the bed, that we wouldn't want the tefillin there. Nevertheless, we say put the tefillin because the shmirah is greater. So even when he's not wearing tefillin, there's a din of shmirah on tefillin. And that is a chelik of the mitzvah to treat the tefillin with kedushatan and to give them that shmirah, both when you're wearing them and when you are not wearing them. Alright, we'll stop over here. The Gemara continues down the Amud for quite a while now, so we're going to stop over here and continue that with tomorrow's daf.